This morning, I want you to begin with me in a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and how to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray it with me this morning. You may know it by heart. It's going to be on the screen, but I want us to pray this together. And it begins by simply saying, Our Father. Would you say that again? One more time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, today I do pray that you would help us to realize that you are a really dad. You're not pretend. You're not partial. You're fully our dad. And help us to become the men and women that you desire for us to be. And this we ask in no other name than your Son, in whom we are co-heirs with. And we give thanks in his name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Don't you love the way that prayer begins, Our Father? Isn't it interesting? It isn't about just God. It's about a relationship. It really takes something special to say, Father. In fact, there are many who have a biological or earthly father, and yet something has happened in that relationship, and it's hard to use that term. There may be some, even in your spiritual walk, at times it's like you don't understand that he is a really dad. He really is there. He is for us. He's not against us. And so when we begin this prayer that says, Our Father, what a way to start. In fact, 1 John 3:1, John the Beloved writes these words, See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen? Amen. You see, we are children of our Heavenly Father. I'm glad that God lavished His love on us, and He did so because He is our Father. Fathers lavish love. Today I want to talk to you men, but I encourage everybody to listen in. In fact, this is good for all of us. Probably almost all of us have been exposed to the way television has portrayed men. They portray men as idiots. They do. There is no father knows best anymore. They portray men acting or behaving badly, as though they cannot act properly. But how many would agree with me that the world needs more, not more men behaving badly, but more men behaving godly? Amen. That's what we need in our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 6, so ask a very sobering question. Here's what it asks. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? The New Life Version puts it this way, many men tell about their own loving kindness and good ways, but who can find a faithful man? If there ever was a day when our world needs faithful men, today is that day. Listen, men, America needs a wake-up call to its men. In fact, the world needs a wake-up call. Our world needs men today to be godly more than ever. You wives need your man to be a godly man. Your children need you as a man to be a godly man. The church needs you to be a godly man. Your business needs you to be a godly man. Your community needs you to be a godly man. Your nation needs you to be a godly man. This world needs you to be a godly man. The world needs men behaving godly. I'm convinced that if our families are going to survive this 21st century, in this day, in the hour in which we live, we need strong, godly male leadership once again. Now, ladies, all of a sudden you're listening in and say, what about us? We need you, but I need to tell these men who God has called us to be. I'm telling you, men, the family is led by the leadership of you in the home. And when men are fulfilling their God-given assignment as spiritual leaders of their home, I'm not talking about dictatorship. I'm talking about spiritual leadership in your home. Your home will be stable, secure, and satisfying. But when men behave badly, society suffers because of it. But when men behave godly, society is strengthened by it. I want to point to you to one of many passages in the Word of God that speaks directly to this issue of behaving like godly men. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. I want to read this powerful passage. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. And it reads this way, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Amen. When I went back, this word actually is just simply the word hallelujah. Praise to God. Can I give you a hint of how to live? If every day and every thought and every moment you would begin with this kind of thought pattern, it would change the way you act. Praise the Lord. I like it. One more time. Praise the Lord. Woo! I can't do that. Woo! Praise the Lord. Begin to live with that kind of thought, with that kind of exclamation. Praise the Lord. For blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Psalm 112 tells us exactly where the whole process begins, though. Look closely at verse 1 again. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Verse 1 gets right to the root of the problem. In fact, today, this is not a long message because men do not have long hearing. So let me get to the root of the problem. For most of us men, it's this. First, too many men do not have a healthy fear of the Lord, a healthy respect of who God is. Let me tell you, He is your Father. He made you. Secondly, too many men do not greatly delight in His commandments. When a man truly fears God and loves His Word, then that man is on his way to living a godly way. I want you to hear some of the promises that, again, that were associated with a man who fears God and greatly delights in His command. Number one, there's a promise concerning his children. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Amen. I like you, my brother. Number two, there's a promise concerning his character. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Number three, there's a promise concerning his conduct. He will guide his affairs with discretion. There's a promise concerning his confidence. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. There's a promise concerning his charity. He is given to the poor. There's a promise concerning his commendation. His horn will be exalted with honor. How many of you men are ready, really ready, to be this kind of man? Amen. Men. Where are you, men? How many men are ready to be this kind of man? Amen. You have to evolve. There's something about getting involved. The place to begin, though, is verse 1. Be a man who fears God and who greatly delights in God's commandments. I'm telling you, this is the kind of man the world needs. This is the kind of man your wife needs. This is the kind of man the children need. This is the kind of man your church needs. I have two simple closing thoughts today. Two things that Jesus said in some of his final words on the cross. The first one is found in Luke 23:34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." I know spiritually I believe what this means, but some may think he was talking about trying to fix something that men shouldn't be fixing. They do not know what they're doing. How many men have ever tried to fix something you shouldn't have fixed, that never got fixed? I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about here. But how many need forgiveness for that? Okay. Obviously, I am joking. But men, it's important to have a forgiving heart. There's so much junk and sin in the world today, and our families, our loved ones, those that we influence, need us to have a heart that has the heart of the Father, and one that would ask the Father to forgive. You see, what I think is interesting about this is that for Jesus to be nailed to a cross, it was in his heart. And it was in the Father's heart already, but the exclamation or the exclaiming of it was made, "Father, forgive them." I don't know what I've seen a lot of stuff my kids have done. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and I've seen a lot of it. But you know what? I have a forgiving heart. I don't sit there and try to hold it against them. And sometimes they have to come back to me as a dad and remind me, "Dad, don't use that against me." And I have to work at that. That's my human part. But I want to forgive, and I want to forget, and I want to move on so I don't continue to make them feel like they're condemned. We need to have a forgiving heart. And when Jesus said, "Father," it was in relationship. Men, no longer do we need to walk with bitterness and unforgiveness. We need to be proclaiming like Jesus, "Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." A second thing Jesus said when he was there, let me back up. The Father, we prayed it a little bit earlier in Matthew 6. "Father, forgive us our debts," right? "As we forgive our debtors." That's the way we live. Second thing, Luke 23:46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Men, what I believe we need to do is complete surrender today. To commit our whole self wholeheartedly to God, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." For guys, that's kind of tough at times because we like control. But this is a lesson that Jesus teaches so that we could trust him while we live here and then trust him forever. Men, I am asking you, commit your lives to the Heavenly Father. In fact, back to Matthew 6:9, "Our Father which art in heaven." I'm committed to him. I'm committed to worshiping and hallowing his name. Today, I want to close a little bit different, and I'm not trying to create chaos, though it may have a little chaotic moment about it. But I want to invite all the men to come forward. All of you, young men, all men. And I don't say this jokingly this morning, but I know we're in a day all of you know about Bruce Jenner. I'm not going to sit here, but I'm telling you, it's time for no longer there to be deception. The enemy is deceiving people. And it's nothing more than that. And we need to recognize it for what it is. It's deception. It's a lie from hell. But I have a heavenly Father. And I've met Him, and He made me. And I know who I am. Men, we are men. And we have a call. This morning, as we close, I want to pray a prayer over you. In fact, Paul prays this prayer. And he starts in Ephesians 3 with this statement in verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." You need to know you were made by God. Yes, you say, "I was made by a natural process." No, you were made by a miracle. That only the Father in heaven can cause that seed to take root and make you who you are. Men, look across this front this morning. There's power here. Ladies, I want you to see the men of this church, because I wanted you to visually be able to see the numbers. Sometimes you get hidden. No longer. I'm calling you up, men. I'm calling you up to serve. I'm calling you up to grow. I'm calling you up to be godly. And we can do it. But we do it together. When Paul writes these words, and he says, "It's for this reason I kneel." I want to kneel this morning, and I want to pray this over you. So many times I read through the Word, and it's like, "Oh, that's great." But then I'm like, I want to practice this myself. I want to kneel before the Father today. And I want to pray this prayer that He prayed. And this is what He prayed. "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people, so you can grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses your knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. For now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us men, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And all the men say, "Amen. Amen. 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 Amen."